Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with Mark Holland, co-hosting the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant, making kind of a difficult subject very palatable and very easy to understand. Paul, you have a real gift for this, I think.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Great to be with you again.
Great to have you on KCIS. And this week, launching into, I think, what's on the heart of many people as they plan their will or their trust. And how do I best take care of my family? How do I best take care of my spouse should I pass away? And we're looking at that this week.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the principles that we're going to be talking about this week can be applied towards your children as well. So I don't want, if you're out there in the listening audience today, for you to disconnect if you're not married. Okay. And so, but we will kind of focus a little bit today on what does it mean to set up a plan so that we can best protect our spouse, because it happens occasionally, but statistically, it's extremely uncommon that I would actually die at the same time with my spouse.
Right.
And so therefore, we need to develop a plan that first takes care of the person that we said I do to. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. Clients will walk in, and when we start talking about estate planning, the first thing they start talking about are their children. And I almost have to remind each of them, this is not a guy problem, by the way. You would think this is a man problem, but I'm telling you, it's both a woman and man, okay? Is that they start talking about the kids, and we forget that we need to make a plan for a spouse that we leave behind. And so I like statistics. I throw them around. And so, 80% of statistics are actually true. So therefore, statistically, the numbers say that in long-term healthy marriages, and really when you get up into your 70s and 80s, specifically in the higher age ranges, that a surviving spouse will pass away within 2 years of the first spouse to pass. Just heard a story this week that a spouse passed away. They were both in their upper 80s. And then literally 2 weeks later, the second spouse dies.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Yeah, and that's typically in very long-term relationships.
Long-term, right.
Otherwise, a surviving spouse will live up to 20 years. Okay, and so if something happened to a spouse and they were in their 60s, maybe even in their 50s or whatever age group, the surviving spouse will live for 20 years. So we can't ignore that we're going to potentially be protecting an individual that we love and care for and have given our lives to protect for a period of 20 years or longer. And so I think that we miss, as spouses, the opportunity to really have an honest conversation of what it means to say one of us is going to die first, and what does it mean for each of us. So let's kind of start covering some of the topics here today in how do we protect a spouse? And we mentioned some of it last week, right?
Yes.
So when one spouse dies, the trust will break off and that portion becomes irrevocable. So I die, my portion of the community property estate or any separate property that I own then gets put into that irrevocable trust. And I mentioned of why that actually works as an asset protection measure now, correct? That it's still my money, believe it or not, because I've created the rules. And so therefore, if anything happens to my spouse in her lifetime, there is a shield that goes around. And many people, if maybe you've heard other estate planners on radio shows, on different channels or whatever else, and they really talk about a spousal asset trust. Well, that's what this is doing. It's the same thing. It's just that we're trying to come up with fancy terms for somebody to get interested in doing estate planning. So it's a spousal asset trust. But there's more than just protections that we can accomplish. We do that because of taxes. So in Washington state, any individual can pass away with $2.1 million right now under that. That's not perfectly the number, but it's very close, with assets. If they pass away with more than that, then a tax of 15% will start in Washington state. So Trump recently signed a new tax bill at the beginning of this year, and it raised the estate tax up to $11+ million. And so in the news, we start hearing that we don't have to worry about estate planning anymore. But that's just the tax reason.
Right.
That's not a protection reason or a vision reason that we would want to accomplish an estate plan. A lot of people want to talk about taxes all the time, but taxes are only a part of a plan.
Now you're talking about death taxes, estate taxes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. So estate tax in Washington would start at $2.1 million. Now, if I had over that with my wife, then, and I left everything to her, when she passes away, then the estate would pay a tax when she dies. So number one is that by making sure my portion of the estate is protected in that irrevocable trust, I haven't left my wife with too much money. So now the opposite could also be true is, what if I don't have that much money? What if I am concerned that my spouse may not have enough to survive, because these are kind of the two dichotomies, right?
Right.
We look at taxes when we have money that would be over the threshold, but what if we only have a couple $100,000? What if we have $100,000 and we've worked hard during our lifetime, but we just never had the ability to save, or things didn't quite work in the way that we had wanted to financially? Well, now we may want to begin planning for a surviving spouse to be able to qualify and use the Medicaid system if that was necessary. Here's the deal. This all comes back to some of our earlier discussions, which is that we need to engage in planning regardless of what our net worth is or is not. If you don't do any planning, then I can't do anything for you. It's very, very difficult when people come into the office and they're single, their spouse has passed away, and they're running out of money because...
Which is a lot of people are outliving their money.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Life spans have expanded. Yeah. Medical procedures are keeping us alive longer, not necessarily in quality of life either, but it's just that we get more days added.
Right.
And so, therefore, the end of life scenario is becoming more and more expensive, right? So we know, maybe, or have heard that that if we ever needed long-term care in the Seattle area, that runs about between $6,500 to $10,000 a month.
Yeah, I found this out.
A month,
yeah,
right?
Mm.
And that's if you don't need memory care. If you're having any issues with Alzheimer's or other aspects of memory care, then that even goes up from there. And so we understand that life is getting far more expensive. And because of that, like you're suggesting, and it is true, people are outliving their money and they didn't plan for the extravagant costs that we are under in a society right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to come back to say, if we don't do anything, then there is nothing that we can expect. I know that sounds simplistic,
right,
but it's true.
Right.
The only people I can help are the people who take a step forward and begin motion. I think we've heard in different scenarios, whether it's through some teaching or preaching, is that, you know, the heart of man devises a plan, but the Lord orders the footsteps therein, is what the Psalms have said. So the heart of man devises a plan. God wants us engaged in creating a plan. He doesn't want us just willy-nilly, sitting back, que sera, sera, it'll
which is
all work
most,
out.
Which is half of America's plan.
Yeah, correct.
Que sera.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It'll happen mysteriously. No, it actually does not. And so, but the Lord orders the footsteps therein. In other words, I have to be in motion. If the Lord is going to order my next footstep, if I'm not putting my foot someplace, it's really hard to get a direction from God. And so we come back to the idea that we have to engage in this topic, and it's not easy for everybody. It's an emotional topic. It's a difficult topic if you have young marrieds of who do we leave the kids with? We're taking two people in God's infinite wisdom who are very different, have different backgrounds, family values, and everything else, and we're squishing them into one household and say, now make it all work out. Sometimes marriage doesn't work quite that easily. But without the conversation, without the hard conversations, and this is one of them. I have people who walk in who have lost parents, and it is an emotional discussion. But that's why we're here. We're here to help lead people through that conversation so that we can begin to create a plan and get our steps in motion. And so Medicaid is one of these things. Look at that. All of that, and I still came back to Medicaid, the topic
at issue.
There you go.
That's the question people have.
Is that even with, and specifically with Medicaid issues, if we do not plan early, we will lose the opportunity to plan at all. And there is the difficult part. We have people walk in who are running through money, and there's very little that we can do for them. There are some things that we could do if somebody is in that current circumstance. And actually, Mark, I don't do that type of planning. I don't do emergency Medicaid planning.
Right.
So I would, I have other attorneys that I trust to assist in that. But it doesn't mean I'll turn someone away. It means that I'll help them find the right people to accomplish that immediate need. But if we have time to plan something, now I can help. Now I've got tools that I can pull out of the bag of tricks. And we can use the foundation of a trust again and create some fantastic options that will benefit a surviving spouse when one spouse passes away. Without the planning, can't do anything. But with it, we got a direction to go.
Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, wants to help you and your family to navigate some of these difficult discussions. That's what he loves to do. You can hear it in his voice on the Legacy and Faith Show. People are intrigued. They want to find out more about you, Paul. How do they do that?
Over at our website, legacyandfaith.com, got a host of information, events coming up. One of them will actually be talking about this, the truth about estate planning and Medicaid. So we do discuss this issue. We discuss what happens or how to plan with minor children. And so there's a class that will fit everyone's circumstance, but you got to get over to our website, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to encourage you to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We provide educational seminars designed to give you a starting point for your estate planning needs. We discuss things like what documents are needed in every estate plan, how do I protect the next generation, what are estate tax issues, and how do I plan for minor or special needs children. Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and discover a host of information, sign up for an educational class, or ask a question. That's at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And more with the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, Mark Holland co-hosting today the discussion, how to protect your spouse in the event of you passing away first, and how an estate plan, a trust can help do that. And Paul, we were talking about Medicaid and protecting against exorbitant expenses there. But before we do that, you wanted to elaborate a little bit about your website again.
Yeah, I made a mention right at the end there that we actually have a educational session on how to do estate planning in consideration of Medicaid concerns. And so I just wanted to take a quick moment and talk about the different sessions that we do have. It's really important to me, and that's really one of the reasons I'm doing this show as well, is that I have a very high value of education. Maybe it's growing up in a home with two educators. Both of my parents were educators. And so, but getting a strong foundation of what estate planning should be about, what's the difference between a will and a trust? Why do we have to go through probate? So in other words, all these different topics that we're kind of piecemealing together through the show, through a 30-minute segment, the 90-minute educational class unfolds these topics in greater clarity and in one session. And if you have minor children, then you need to do estate planning. So we have a class and an educational session of how to plan with minor children. Or this topic is of great interest for many people. What can I do? Okay, so Paul, last session before break, you convinced me I got to do something. Even if I don't have a whole lot, there's a way you can protect me. Well, come out to the educational session. Sign up at legacyandfaith.com. It's the only way that you can get to the firm is by going through the educational classes. And let's sit down and make sure you have a strong foundation so that we can take our next step together. And whether you have millions of dollars or just a few million pennies, we can accomplish good planning to set up a legacy for you and make sure that you're well protected as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, sign up for an educational class. I'd love to meet you face to face.
Okay. So I think what I got there too is some kind of plan is available for everyone.
Absolutely.
And everyone needs a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. We all need to do something. And by the way, in case I failed to mention it, those are complimentary classes. There's no charge and there's no obligation to move forward. So I just want to be able to take this moment and educate and get some good information and begin the process of helping people move forward.
Okay, well, so what are some of the hidden issues that married couples should be thinking about in designing their estate plan?
Yeah, we think of trusts as maybe an inflexible document, as being rigid or fixed forever and ever, amen. And it's just simply not true anymore. I mentioned in past times that trusts have really evolved over the past 20 years. They become a far more flexible document. So when they are created properly, and of course, that's a big deal, is that they have to be created properly. So find someone. If it's not my firm, that's fine. But find somebody that you can trust. Find an attorney that that deals and has good experience in developing trusts, okay? And be bold with attorneys. Ask them, do you just use a template? Or are you actually creating a document that's going to fit my family? That is a fair question to ask. And I think sometimes that we just simply walk into an attorney's office and trust that they can do something. But my challenge is ask questions. And attorneys are willing to answer the questions. They're not intimidated by them. And it'll make sure that you have the right person doing the right job for you. So I absolutely encourage individuals to not do this on their own. The show itself, hopefully, has already uncovered some of the complications and some of the things that we need to be talking about. Get to a good attorney that you believe can help you and your family. So what are some of the things that we need to think about in protecting our spouse? So number one, that really is a big deal. Find the right attorney to work with.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about taxes, that that a trust then can protect from taxes. We've talked briefly about Medicaid. And then I mentioned here that a plan needs to be flexible enough to make fine-tune changes. I said at the top of the show that that a spouse can live for up to 20 years after their first spouse dies.
Right.
Well, if that document doesn't allow the surviving spouse to go back in and make tweaks to new current circumstances, then that is an inflexible document. So if I pass away, then I want to make sure that my wife, who is left behind, can watch over the plan as we intended together and empower her to make fine-tune adjustments. Because, again, what if something changes in one of my girls' life? I'm no longer here to make that fine-tune adjustment, but she is. What if we have another big tax change? What if there's a change in how a trust must be written in order to continue the protections? All of those things can maneuver and change after I'm already gone. So the trust instrument itself has to be flexible enough to accommodate and anticipate that there are going to be changes in life and empower my spouse to be able to reach back in that document and make those fine-tuned changes. Now, I'm 50 years old, and so I think it's kind of fun having this discussion with married couples, which is the issue of being remarried. So if I'm 50 and I lose my wife, what is the probability over my lifetime that I would get remarried? It's actually pretty high.
Pretty good, I would
now,
think.
Is that any disrespect to my wife? None whatsoever. I love her. I am committed to her. But we understand that being created in the image of God is that we long for fellowship. That is who our Creator is. That's the reason He sent Jesus Christ as the final offering to this earth, is so that there was a way to be made for Him to fellowship with His creation, so that we could know His love, His astounding love. And so fellowship is how we are created in His image. And so how many people have thought about, well, how would the plan that I create with my spouse get destroyed if someone else comes in and becomes a voice?
Mm.
Now, men tend to get remarried a little bit faster than women.
Yes.
Okay? You want to take any shots? Because remember, Paul likes statistics. So therefore, how fast do you think that a surviving spouse who is a husband gets remarried?
Within the first 2 years?
Dead on. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Within 2 years. Okay? Now, women, you do have a statistic, because I know what you're thinking. You're shaking your head going, my gosh, yes, that's my husband. Or you're shaking your head saying, that's not me. I would never get remarried. So I hear that all the time from women. I would never get remarried. Oh, en contraire. So you have a statistic out there, women. So Mark, why don't take a shot at how long it takes?
I would think they stay single maybe a little longer, five years?
5 years. Yeah, it's about 7 years.
7 years.
Okay. 7 years. And so, because it takes them a little bit longer to make the determination of whether they want to babysit somebody again or not. Okay? And so it's okay. I'm comfortable in knowing that I need to be babysat. It's just the way that we are. But remarriage issues now are a big concern, because that new person, I don't care if that person is the greatest person, the most godly person walking the face of the planet, that person can interrupt what my wife and I have built together.
Oh, yeah.
Because we begin to take on the thought processes of that new person. We begin to be influenced. What if it's now a blended family and we introduce new children? Well, if my wife passed away, or if I passed away, was my intent to support other people's children, or was my intent to make sure that my wife is taken care of and then it gets to my children if and when she passes away, correct?
Right.
So now remarriage can be an interrupter. And so as the estate planning attorney, that is a danger to me, no matter how nice they are. Now, we also have heard stories of people being taken advantage of.
I'm a gold digger.
Yeah, I'm an emotional person. Mm. Even with all my knowledge, I lose my spouse, and I am going to be emotionally vulnerable. And I know that. And so it's an opportunity that I need to be careful of. But the plan that we leave each other can protect each other from these scenarios. The plan can ensure, a trust can ensure, that indeed my children are the ones who end up getting what I've intended if I'm the first to mm-hmm. leave this earth, mm-hmm. while still yet protecting my spouse. So not only is it flexibility, accessibility, because we said that my wife would have full accessibility to that side of what I've left. But now we start getting into a little deeper issues that we many people don't even think of. And unfortunately, most estate planners are not even bringing to the table to assist their clients with. But these are the things that we need to discuss and we need to be able to protect one another from. So I could never do that in a will, because a will is a check writing instrument. It means I just gave it all to my spouse. And if something intervenes in her life, whether it's remarriage, whether it's a creditor issue, a simple driving accident, whether it's Medicaid protection, all these different things can interrupt against exactly what I would have wanted and passionately desired to protect my spouse. We need to have the conversation. A trust can add a legacy first and foremost to our spouse who we leave behind.
And protection for that spouse you leave behind. If you're intrigued by the discussion today of trusts, estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant would love to assist you. If people are intrigued, they want to find out more, how do they do that, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Lots of information, educational sessions. Come on over. We'd love to talk to you.
Podcasts of all your shows.
That's
there
right.
As well.
Yes. Podcasts, ability to ask questions. I'd love to get your questions so I can direct the show more specifically towards the listeners. So a lot of information there. Go.
Legacyandfaith.com. This has been another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.